And so Matthew chapter 14, this is now the story of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus walks on water and Peter sees Jesus doing that and Peter wants to do what Jesus is doing. But where did Peter learn and where did Peter desire to want to walk on water was watching Jesus do it. Everybody got that? So here's now the verse we're reading into Matthew 14 verse 28. Then Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, I want you to see that. But seeing the wind, so Jesus said, come. So Peter got out and walked on the water and was walking towards Jesus. He actually walked on the water. You with me here? But seeing the wind, seeing the economy, listening to CNN, constant negative news, being moved by what's happening in the global economy, by maybe seeing his stock investments decline, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Here's the first thought. The first scripture, when I think about living a life of faith, listen to it very carefully. Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the words of Jesus. The water would never have held him up. Are you hearing me now? The water, and actually the Bible says here that Jesus said to Peter, come. It was actually the fact that Jesus spoke a word to him that Peter got out of the boat, and it wasn't the water that held Peter. It was the word Jesus gave when he said, come. Can I tell you something? You can be a water walker if you learn how to walk on the words of Jesus. The water will never hold you. The economy will never hold you. Your job will never hold you. The doctor's diagnosis will never hold you. Come on. What will hold you is the words of Jesus. And we need to be people who learn to hear. And when we listen to this, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we go down. Because it says, but seeing the wind. He was walking toward Jesus when he noticed the wind. When we notice things that are outside of our control, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, the Bible says he looked at the wind, he looked at the waves, he took his eyes off of Christ. He heard the words of Jesus come, but then he began to look around him. We notice the economy, we notice the, you know, what's happening in the natural. It's then we begin to sink. And here's the last thought. When we notice the wind and the waves, we go down. And I want to encourage everybody here to keep your eyes on Jesus, who the Bible says is the author and the finisher of our faith. When you take your eyes off of Christ, you will go down. Amen. That's one scripture. Here's another one. Mark chapter 11. I live my life by these scriptures. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt. I love that. Does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say. Hey, believes what? If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say. So how important is confession? Because here Jesus is talking to us about how faith works. And he says, you got a faith, talks to a mountain and says, get out of my way, get cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say. So you got to say it before, come on, and you got to believe what you say is going to happen. So faith talks. Faith is voice activated. It says, but believes what he says and it will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Have faith in God. you know, that translation could be just as easily translated. It just doesn't make as much sense in English, which is why they wrote it the way they did, where it says, have faith in God. But actually, it could just as be easily translated as have the God kind of faith. But they kind of felt like that didn't quite make as much sense. So they put it in another sense, which is have faith in God. But, you know, I like the other meaning, which is just as real, just as legitimate in taking it from its original language and bringing it into our language today. Have the God kind of faith. See, God in the beginning said, let there be light. God created the world he lived in with the words he spoke. That's the thought about how faith works. Faith talks. Faith speaks. Come on. And it says, come on. It says, get out of my way. Get it. Get, you're blocking my view. Say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. That doesn't mean we go around the Shenandoah and tell all the Shenandoah mountains to go get out. It's talking about the mountain that's in your life. The mountain of sickness, the mountain of poverty, the mountain of loneliness, whatever the mountain is, the mountain of whatever it is that you're facing, you can speak to your mountains. You can get it removed out of your life. But listen to this. You got to have the God kind of faith. You got to understand that you got to speak in the beginning. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was dark, formless, void, and it was in chaos. It was in utter chaos. And God spoke to that which was there, and God brought our order out of disorder. And now the Bible says, have the God kind of faith. In other words, God created this world with his words. And if you believe in your heart, come on, and speak to this mountain, don't doubt it, but believe what you say will happen, it will happen. This is faith. This is how faith works. Amen. Our words, in other words, have power. Let me show you another verse. Hebrews 13 verse 15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips that openly confess or profess his name. Another one says, giving thanks to his name. I love that. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Again, what's it talking about? Your words. What did Peter say? Lord, if that's you, speak to me. Tell me. Give me a word. Your word will hold me. And he walked on the water. And then we read, have the God kind of faith. Understand the power of your words. Don't doubt your heart. Believe what you say, it'll happen. Whatever you ask for. Come on, in my name, you'll get it. And now here we are. It's again talking to us about words. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of your lips. Words matter. Words have power. Your words are more powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Come on. We're speaking it. I mean, the guy who said sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. He's a liar. You talk to anybody who's been called a name. And I tell you, it has a lot more damage than a stick or a stone. The person who wrote that out of reaction of being hurt. Amen. Words have power. Through Jesus, let us therefore offer to God a sacrifice. Well, in the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we understand the principle of sacrifices. You couldn't bring God something that was lame, something that was faulty, something that was already would be easy to sacrifice. A sacrifice had to cost you something. If you had a sheep and it had a broken leg and it was irreparable and that sheep was useless to you, well then, you know, if you got to sacrifice a sheep, well, let's sacrifice that one. It's useless to me anyway. That's not a sacrifice. That's why God doesn't want leftovers. A sacrifice. So in the Old Testament, for atonement of sins, forgiveness of sins, to be forgiven in the Old Testament, there was a shedding of the of blood of an animal, the giving of a life. In exchange for our life, but you couldn't give God something that was broken, dilapidated, secondhand, leftovers. It's like that secretary, the very first secretary I ever had as a pastor in my life. I used to laugh at her. Oh, she was hilarious. She was so proud of herself because she used to drink, in Australia, everybody drinks tea. They don't drink coffee like they do here. Everybody has a cup of tea. Everybody say cup of tea. and she would always make a cup of tea. And I used to watch her. She would make a cup of tea with her tea bag. And then I'd watch her. I'd go, what are you doing? Because she'd always save the tea bag. And I said, why are you saving the tea bag? And she would wrap it up in a napkin and then put it in a plastic sandwich bag. Why are you doing that? She goes, Steve, I send missionaries that I support my used tea bags. I figure, why not let it be used twice? And I said, your used tea bag. You send missionaries your leftovers. She goes, yes. And she was so proud of herself. I said, why don't you send the missionary the new tea bag and have them send you the used tea bag? That's the cheapest, stingiest thing I've ever heard in my life. And she was so proud of herself. And I used to tease her all the time and say, no, you're not using the tea bag, the new one. I want to see you drinking what you want them to drink. Can I tell you, when you give God your leftovers, you're giving him your used tea bag. God demands to be first. That's why it's a sacrifice. You don't give God the cheap sheep. You don't give God the last tenth. You give God the first tenth. That's why it's faith. Because it's not faith to give what's left. It takes faith to give God what's first. That's why it's a sacrifice. And it says, but it's not a sacrifice of the Old Testament, of the blood of animals, because Jesus made his blood sufficient that that's no longer required. But there's still a sacrifice in the New Testament that we must give. And the sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. In other words, sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God when not everything is going well. It's easy to praise God when everything, you're on the mountaintop, but it's another thing to give God sacrifice in the middle of trials and tribulations and challenges and situations. You're still able to be in the house of God and worship him. Now that's a sacrifice. Anybody can trust God when things are going well, but faith is revealed. Faith comes to the surface when it's a sacrifice. Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that I trust you. I know that you are good. What you do is good, and I'm going to praise you no matter what. Now we're talking. Now you're beginning to walk on the words of Jesus. Now you're beginning to be a water walker. Now you're saying to the mountain, get out, and you believe in your heart what you say, it will be done for you. Come on. And now you're learning a principle of how faith works. Are you catching it? Wait a minute, it gets better. Because not only is it a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, but you know that word literally says giving thanks? It literally comes from a Greek word called homologia. Homo, which is same, logia, which is word. And the Bible says that the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips that gives thanks, that confess his name, literally means that the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, is to say the same thing that God has already said. So if you come to God and say, God, I don't know why I didn't get that promotion. Lord, I don't know why I lost my job. Lord, I don't know how I got this sickness. Lord, I'm in trouble. Help me. No. The fruit of your lips has got to be the same word that God has spoken. Lord, I thank you that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, nor the north or the south, but you are the judge. You set one down. You exalt another. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Now it's a sacrifice. Now it's hard because everything around you, the wind and the waves and the waters, can get your eyes off Jesus. But if you can keep your eyes on Jesus and you can make sure that the words that come out of your mouth are the same thing that he already spoke in his word, now you're giving God an acceptable sacrifice. Now what's coming out of your mouth, God can receive it. God can work with it. God can do miracles. But if you're just going, oh God, I've got so many bills that even the magnet on my refrigerator refrigerator has lost its power to hang on to them. God, I've got disease and sickness. And Lord, and you can spell your disease. You can tell who the best, you know, medical doctors in the whole country are. You know all the research. You've done all the online. You've Googled it. You know the symptoms and the side effects of all the medications. You got armed with all the information, but you can't quote one verse in the Bible. Come on. Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. Now, faith kicks in. Get your eyes off the wind and the water and the waves. Get yourself grounded in the Word of God and know what the Word says. Because if you give God a sacrifice of praise that isn't in line with what His Word says, it's a blemished sacrifice. Just as God wouldn't accept it in the Old Testament, He will not accept it in the New. It's not the sacrifice of blood, because Jesus made all that come to pass. But it is a sacrifice in the middle of a challenging time to make sure that what's coming out of your mouth is what's come out of His mouth. Come on, turn to the person next to you. Relax. He's talking to me, not you. It's all good. Amen. Here's another. Is this helping anybody? Come on, great Nick. Is this helping anybody? Watch this now. Because it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, I love this scripture. So we are always of good courage. Amen. For we know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by and not by. Oh, I've never once been able to articulate this in a way. I've tried for 30 years to try to explain this as good as I'd like to. I know what I'm trying to say, but I've never found the words to say it. But I'm getting close. I've been researching faith all week. Again, just because I live by faith doesn't mean I can't still learn by faith. And I've been praying and studying on this mini series, and I'm telling you something, I think I'm this close to finding new words to describe what I feel I've yet to give description to. Because faith, we walk by faith and not by, see, when you walk by sight, what happens? You notice the wind and the waves, you go down. So we walk by what? We live by what? Not by sight. So you got to close your eyes to the facts and open your eyes to the truth. All right, watch this. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believe and so I spoke. That's what faith does, believes and speaks. Amen. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also bring us to you in His presence. You see, listen to this. Faith is a spirit. We have the same spirit of faith. It's when you have a spirit of faith, not just faith for a moment, but here the Bible says it's a spirit. We have the same spirit of faith. It says, watch now, faith speaks. We believe, therefore we spoke. Amen. And faith, listen to it, is voice activated. It speaks. And what makes faith work is your words. Amen. This is not blab it and grab it. This is not confess it and possess it. Because if you do that, someone else will repossess it. But this is simply understanding the power of how faith works. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we spoke. You can't speak what you do not believe. Amen. You got to believe it and then you speak what you believe. And if you believe what you speak will happen, it will happen. Amen. So I want to encourage everybody here, because watch this now. Think about what we're doing here. Well, let's dream together. I'm speaking it out and I believe with all my heart. As much as I'm not just receiving an offering, oh God, may it be even much more than that. What I'm wanting to do is teach us to know what a spirit of faith looks like. And I guess in one sense, we're kind of exampling to you in a corporate sense what it could look like for you on an individual basis. Amen. Everything we've done here at Wave Church has been by a spirit of faith. Now, thank God for good wisdom and good planning. Thank God for good financial leadership and management and oversight. Amen. Thank God for all that. None of that's to be thrown out. Faith doesn't ignore those things. Matter of fact, let me show you another scripture here. Watch this. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. It says here, on one of those days, Jesus said to the disciples, go into the boat. He said, let's go over to the other side. So they launched out and they sailed along and he fell asleep and a fierce wind descended on the lake and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they said to Jesus, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Matter of fact, in Mark, they actually say, don't you care? And Jesus turns to him, rebukes the wind, speaks it, and then turns to the disciples when the wind calms down and asks a question, where is your faith? He did not say, why don't you have any faith? He heard their faith. Faith talks. They believe what they said. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Where was their faith? Well, they spoke it out. Where was their faith? He didn't say, why don't you have any faith? He didn't say, oh, ye of little faith. They had great faith. They really believed they were going to drown. He didn't say little faith. He did challenge some people having little faith, but not this time. He challenged for some people and said, oh, you faithless generation, but not this time. It was misdirected faith. It was in the boat and the boat was failing them. It was in the storm and the storm was overwhelming them. It was in the wind and the water and the waves. And let me tell you something. He didn't say, why don't you have any faith? He said, where is it? Because their faith was in the wrong thing. Their faith was in their ability to cope as fishermen. And they believed, therefore they spoke, Master, Master, we're going to drown. But Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. He went to sleep, giving them the opportunity to rise up and speak. But they spoke the wrong thing. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Come on. Where is your faith? Not my faith. I can handle this, but you could have as well. Come on, someone say amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is this helping anybody? Watch this. I love this one. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Is it the evidence of things not seen? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. For it is the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Here's the thought. When is faith? Well, the Bible says now faith is. So when is faith? The moment of faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Faith is not hope. Hope is a good start to faith, but faith, hope in and of itself is not faith. Well, I'm believing, I'm hoping the Lord will give me, you know, better opportunities in life. I'm hoping the Lord will heal me. I'm hoping the Lord will bless me. Hope is good, but the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope in and of itself is not faith. It is the origin of faith. It is the seedbed of faith. It is where faith can be created, but it is not faith. Hope means it's still going to happen somewhere out there. It's optimism, but now faith is the substance, quantifiable, definitive. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope was there, but hope didn't get you to faith, but hope, you can't have faith without hope. Amen. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the, listen to this, it is the evidence, I love this, of things not seen. So the moment of faith is now. In other words, if it's not now, it's not faith. And that's okay, because that means you're still in hope, and nothing wrong with hope, but hope in and of itself is not faith. Amen. So when do you have it? I have it now. Well, show it to me. I can't show it to you because we walk by faith and not by sight is the evidence of things you can't see. I can't show it to you yet, but I got it. I have it. Well, where is it? It's now. Well, when is faith? Faith is now. Well, show it to me. I can't show it to you yet, but I have it. See, we have this 600,000. I got good news for you. That offering's already met. Where is it? It's in your pockets. But I have it. How many have what you're believing for? As we sow this sacrifice, not the leftovers. Come on. See, when is faith? Faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. It's good. It's hope. Hope will get you to faith, but hope in and of itself is not faith. Come on. Is this helping anybody? I'm trying to explain to you this invisible realm of how faith works. See, it's a spirit of faith. But to me, it is more real than the world in which we live in. It is more tangible and more desirable than this world. Amen. Watch this. I love this one. Romans chapter 4. See, here's the thought. Because some of you are getting a bit worried right now. Wait a minute, Steve. This sounds like the power of positive speaking. Some of you think, this sounds like I'm in an Anthony Robbins seminar. You know, this sounds like, you know, you're a firewalker. These people teach the spirit of faith and they pervert it. They leave out, they get it all from scripture, I promise you. You with me here? And this is what it says. Because, see, faith can face the facts. Watch this. Romans chapter 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope. See, there's faith in its origin. Against all hope, there was no hope. But against all hope, in hope, Abraham, what? In hope, believed. And so he became the father of many nations. There was no hope for Abram. But against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. In the natural, he had to close his eyes to what was visible. Against all hope. Look at this. Everywhere I look, there's no hope. I'm old. It's impossible. My wife's old. I can't have a son. Against all hope, there was no hope. It was against all hope. So to me, when you're against all hope, it sounds like a good time for faith to kick in. You didn't catch it, but we'll keep moving. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. Watch this. Without weakening in his faith. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Faith can face the facts. I know I'm old. I can face the fact that in the natural, it ain't going to happen. There is no hope, but against hope, in hope, I'm believing. I can face the fact that I'm 90, I'm 100 years old, my wife is 90, but I will not weaken in my faith, even though I can face the facts. I can face the fact that there is no hope for me in the natural. The doctors told me I've got cancer. It's incurable. But against all hope, in hope, I believe. I can face the facts. See, faith is not denial. Faith is not, you know, removing the reality of what you're in. But it says we walk by faith and not by faith. Anybody catching this? Some of it's like, this is like a pill that just dilutes over time. It's like a time release capsule for some of you. It's like tomorrow you're going to go, oh. And it's like, okay, now watch what happens here. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old. Sarah's womb was dead. There's a bad start. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise that was being strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised because God promised him something. You can't have what God does not promise. You've got to get a word. Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. Right, come. Well, now you're walking not on the water, but on the words of Jesus. I've got a word and I'm walking on the word and I'm not weakening in my faith. I'm not staggering in unbelief. I'm closing my eyes to what I see because I believe what God promised. That is why it was credited to him righteousness. The word credited to him was not written for him alone, but for all of us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he is delivered over to death our sins and will raise our life for our justification. Here's the thought. Faith rises above hope. Come on. Faith faces the facts without weakening. Faith does not waver. Faith strengthens you. Faith is being fully persuaded that God can do it. Amen? So here's what I want to close with, visualization. And you might say, Steve, this is sounding New Agey. No, the New Age got this from Scripture. And they perverted. The devil, listen to this, cannot create. He can only imitate. And what he's done is the devil is taken the wonderful truths of the principle of what it is to live by faith and has distorted it. And if you don't think that cults and religions and false religions and New Age don't have an air of things that are fruitful, you are wrong. If it were not fruitful, people wouldn't be buying into it because they've tapped into this fourth dimension. Okay, I'll prove it to you. I can tell some of you are freaking out right now. Okay, I'll give you a taste of it. Okay, let me show you what the devil used visualization to bring sin into the world. Did you know that? The devil in the Garden of Eden said to Eve, listen to it now. Look at this fruit. Did God say you shouldn't eat of this? Because he knows if you did, you'll know the difference between life and death, good and evil. Did God say you shouldn't eat of this? And the Bible says when Eve looked at it, she saw it was pleasing to the eye and good for food, and she ate it. The devil got her to visualize what it would be like, and therefore she ate. And by the way, so did Adam. The devil can only imitate what God has initiated. You don't think seeing's important? Why did God, when he told Lot's wife to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, why did he tell her don't look back? And when she did look back, God killed her and turned her into a pillar of salt because she looked back. Visualization, seeing, is a really important part of faith. So tonight, can you see yourself being here tonight? Because I want to teach you the importance of faith. And this message in and of itself is by no means complete without really looking at all of this. I want to show you the fourth dimension. And that's going to be tonight. See, we live by faith and not by sight. We live in a three-dimensional world. We have five senses. We live in a three-dimensional world. There is a parallel world that coexists with the three-dimensional world. It's the realm of faith. It's the fourth dimension. Some of you are freaking out, I can tell. It's good for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all there. And the earth was formless and void, but the Spirit of God, fourth dimension, Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God spoke, and the third dimension and the fourth dimension, the Spirit of God were hugging and touching. And when God spoke, he brought order and life and made this world from ugly to beautiful. And there is my beeper. Praise the Lord. You receive the word? Come on, give a lot.